Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Dr. William Drescher, and we're going to be talking about, of all things, asbestos. And you may say, well, who cares about asbestos? Well, you should care about asbestos, because what's happened as far as the asbestos scam is one of the great tragedies of modern time. It's like all the lawsuits that were brought against Dow Corning over the silicon breast implants without a bit of justification for it at all, and they bankrupted the corporation. Well, asbestos is a very important product, and I don't know how many tens of, if not hundreds of billions of dollars have been wasted because of a scam. Dr. Drescher, are you there?
I'm here.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about this whole thing? Doesn't asbestos produce mesotheliomas of the lung? I mean, everybody knows that. Or is that sort of a half-truth, and a half-truth is no much different than a lie?
It's a half-truth, Dr. Monteith, and I can put some numbers on your introduction. There's something like 600,000 asbestos disease-related claimants have already come forward, and some $54 billion has been spent, and about 60 companies have gone bankrupt. And most of these have come through attorneys solicited advertisements, TV ads, and so forth. And the claimants are not ill. They have no demonstrable impairment, and more than likely, they've never been exposed to asbestos.
Well, then how can they bring a lawsuit?
Well, they bring a lawsuit because of there are some people who will interpret x-rays that will indicate mesothelioma, which is a very unique form of lung cancer attributable only to asbestos, but rarely is asbestos. And I can give you one example in my own knowledge that I've worked in the asbestos industry for from 1957 to 1964, and about 10 years ago, one of my co-patriots came down with lung cancer and was designated as mesothelioma. And fortunately, a lung biopsy was taken and was discovered it was not mesothelioma.
I'm going to ask you to hold the thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this afternoon is Dr. William Drescher. We're going to be talking about asbestos and one of the great miscarriages of justice of modern times. You know, we hear a lot about, all these threats, to the environment, and of course DDT is going to destroy society, so we've got to outlaw it, and of course in the product process, it had already saved 500 million lives from malaria. Now malaria is back in full force, killing between 3 and 10 million people a year, and of course now we have the West Nile virus here in the United States, but we can't use DDT because it's been outlawed because it's so toxic. And another, of course, of these terrible dangers is asbestos. And of course, Johns Manfield, a great American corporation, went bankrupt because, of course, asbestos suits. And Dr. Drescher was just saying, was it $57 billion have been paid out?
So far.
Okay, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about it? And of course, the people say, well, it produces mesotheliomas. And it does, certainly. I remember when I was in Africa, we used to see it. But that's a different type of asbestos in Africa than we have here, isn't it?
That's right. Totally different type. And it happens to be the major cancer-producing type. and it's a type that's rarely used here, rarely seen in the United States. So the point I was making earlier is very often if a person tells a doctor that he's been around asbestos, the immediate diagnosis is that he has mesothelioma due to asbestos.
Well, of course, remember, we used to see certain fibrosis in the lung, which they called asbestosis.
That's
now,
right.
And now, is that a real factor?
That's different. That's like silicosis.
Right, okay.
Yes, that's a different ailment. But the crux of the matter and the thing that you were coming to earlier is that asbestos is a generic name for a whole group of minerals. And you might say, well, Joe Smith is a criminal, and that makes all Smiths criminals. Asbestos, there's six minerals commonly identified as being in the asbestos group. And one of them, the South African blue, the chrysoberyllite, is extremely toxic. And two others are partially toxic and can cause lung cancer. But the one that's used in the majority, and the one that's mined in North America, is chrysotile. And among asbestos workers in the United States, there's never been a case of lung cancer due to chrysotile.
And of course, what we see, we see this, of course, used. It used to be used in roof shingles, and of course, it was their fireproof, and they did a great job.
That's
and then, of course, when now, if you take off your asbestos shingles, it costs you more to dispose of the shingles than it does to change the roof. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. William Drescher. We're talking about, of course, of what's happened of this scam as far as asbestos is concerned. And if you have asbestos shingles on your roof and you want to change them, it's going to cost you more to dispose of those asbestos shingles because they have to go to a special toxic dump site. Cost almost as much to get rid of the shingles as it does, of course, to change the shingles on your roof. And then, of course, they're, of course, worried about the asbestos that was used in insulation in schools, and they make this big thing out of it, and of course they have specialists in this, but of course most of this asbestos is totally harmless, but what you do is repeat something over and over and over again. Yes, South African asbestos was used, as I remember, a lot of it in shipbuilding, and they used it to wrap the pipes, and of course that was a very toxic form of asbestos, but not that was generally mined or produced in the United States. So why don't you pick up the story there, Doctor?
Well, it's what you said is absolutely true, but the problem is that in the past, at least, often there were an asbestos product. You mentioned roof shingles, building siding, acoustic ceilings were made with mixtures of asbestos. Some of these did have the toxic material in it. So there's no doubt about that. But the commonly used asbestos, and the thing that the form that's found the most, is non-toxic. And actually, the EPA, in the aftermath of the World Trade Center, actually came out and said that chrysotile is not one of the asbestos-forming minerals that causes the cancer. And yet, asbestos is asbestos regardless of the mineral form, and the lawsuits acknowledge it and award these large rewards.
Well, of course, are they still? I thought that they'd finally settle all those asbestos suits. They were over with once and for all.
No, that's not true. They're still going on.
Well, and now can they actually, are they asking for compensation because they're worried that they might develop something? I mean, mesothelioma is a very unusual carcinoma,
right.
And many of these are actually related to the SV40, the virus that was in the original polio vaccine that they gave to all the people. That was a monkey virus, a cancer-producing virus. In fact, it was the first cancer-producing virus that we found, and of course it was a very, very, it produced mesotheliomas in hamsters, produced brain tumors, and it also, of course, does in human beings as well. And now, 40 years later, we're beginning to find this not infrequently.
Yes. Well, I have a friend who was diagnosed with what they thought might be mesothelioma, and he was a person who never had any known exposure whatsoever to asbestos. It may have been used in products in his house or whatnot, but there's never any deaths. And when you have workers who are, you know, day in and day out are in the work atmosphere, and in the early days a very, very dusty atmosphere, and they don't get it, now how is an average citizen going about their regular business able to get this disease?
So what actually happened? Your friend really didn't have a mesothelium.
He didn't have it, no.
Right. And of course, for our listeners, this the mesothelium is the lining. It's the pleural lining in the chest cavity. So a mesothelioma is the tumor of the lining of the chest cavity of the pleura.
Exactly. And it's distinctly different when you do an autopsy. You can see a distinct difference between that and other forms of cancer.
All right, fine. Well, of course, how are they going to get this thing settled and get juries to understand that many times the asbestos that you're talking about is not the asbestos that produces the problem?
Well, worse than that, many times the claimant does not have any disease whatsoever. But he claims he's been exposed to asbestos, and therefore the jury is making an award.
Well, of course, but how can he say he's been? I mean, what's his justification for saying he's
been? Well, they'll use x-rays of the lung that give a shadow or something, and some expert will testify, and that's it.
Well,
in the medical community, there's quite an argument about this.
Well, this is one of the problems, is that sometimes you can hire a doctor who will say anything. And, of course, the honest people and the dishonest people. But, you know, of course, certainly the courts and the lawyers and the judges get to know who the honest people and who the dishonest people are.
Yeah.
So, basically, of course, these lawsuits now are still going on after, what, 20 years?
Oh, yes, unfortunately. And the projections are that it could reach at least $200 billion in settlements. And unfortunately, too, companies who really never had anything to do with asbestos are being sued because some distant relatives within the company might have touched it one way or another.
Well, of course, juries aren't really that gullible, are they?
Unfortunately, some of them are. One defense the lawyer noted that we've got people who are not sick suing people who never made the stuff.
Well, of course, what can be done to solve the problem? Because, of course, the misuse of our courts for illegitimate suits, for unwarranted suits, is bogging down the courts and, of course, in making a mockery out of our system of justice.
Well, unfortunately, this is the case. We're such a litigious society today that almost anything can open up into a lawsuit.
Well, of course, what are the manufacturers doing?
Well, the manufacturers have been doing everything they could to fight it. I was associated with Union Carbide, and when we discovered an asbestos deposit in 1957, and the lawsuits are still going on. Union Carbide now is part of Dow Chemical, and the lawsuits are still going on. And yet that's a pure, ultra-pure form of chrysotile, and there's no cases whatsoever have ever been documented of a mesothelioma coming from that material.
I see. Well, of course, haven't they been able to bring that scientific into the courts?
Oh, yes. But it is not one today. Asbestos is asbestos when it gets to the juries.
Well, of course, can't the judges bring out the
absurdity? You would hope.
All right, fine. Well, then, what part are you playing in this whole scenario today?
Today, I'm inactive. In past years, I've been an advisor to Union Carbide in some of their suits. But as I said, I had first-hand experience when the Union Carbide discovered this California deposit and we developed it into a going operation. And I was part of that.
Now, are they still mining it today?
It's long been sold to another company, and the last I heard, they had finally shut it down.
Because you just can't, of course, use this, and yet there's really nothing quite as efficient as asbestos is there for many, many purposes?
In many applications, one of which is brake linings. Today, our brake linings are free of asbestos. And we're using copper and brass fibers, and now there's no complaining about contaminating the atmosphere with copper. So You can't solve all the problems completely. And of course, our brick linings today are not nearly as efficient as the asbestos brick linings were.
Well, is there any way, of course, that there could be any sort of a scientific study to settle this thing once and for all? Because I see Dow Corning is going to go applying now to begin re-implanting the silicon breast implants, because now, after a 20-year study, they found out there's no increase of autoimmune disease in women with, no more increase in women with the breast implants and without, and so they're going to go back to using them again after losing $3 or $4 billion in senseless lawsuits.
I don't know of anything study-wise that is planned. There have been a number of studies and a number of case examples. For example, in Arizona, which was the other major crystal pill producing location in the United States, after the major asbestos scare, there was quite a bit of to do in Globe, Arizona. And a few people got together and pulled together the data. And the dust levels, those mines have been operating since about 1911. The records of dust levels were absolutely fantastic compared to today's standards. And yet, according to the Arizona Workers' Compensation Fund, there'd never been a claim for any lung ailment due to an asbestos worker in Arizona. So there's a case in point.
Well, now, what about the asbestosis or the fibrosis of the lung that they get with working within the asbestos?
I can't answer that.
But, of course, there are no claims for that, or they wouldn't allow them to file any claims.
The document making the statement said no claims at all for a lung ailment.
I see. Well, of course, I'm not an expert on it one way or the other.
No, I'm not either, but I have a copy of that document.
Okay. Well, is there anything else that we should be bring out for our listening audience out there?
Well, I think the main thing is to go back to the point that you made initially, that asbestos is a family of minerals, and yes, within that family there are some very harmful ones. But the one that's used by far the most is rather innocuous, and yet it has been smeared with the same brush that painted the most hazardous ones.
Well, I think it's really such a terrible, terrible tragedy that this has happened, and I think it's certainly it's scared a lot of people to death. It's wasted an awful lot of money with so many of the things having to do with the environment. You declare something a hazard, and then, of course, you don't know how to get rid of it, and you have to have special dumps. And really, we spend billions and billions of dollars on useless things that do not benefit either the individual or society.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, look, I want to thank you so very much. If there's anything else you want to say before we let you go?
I think that's probably enough. Not one of your viewers has a question.
All right, fine. Well, look, thank you so very much, Dr. Drescher. It's been a real pleasure having you with us. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, and this is Dr. Stan. We'll be back here in just a moment, and we'll have open lines for the rest of the hour right here at Radio Liberty. Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four tapes set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
This is radio health journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamax, the new odorless, 100% pure Allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamax is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh, crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405-4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamax. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I just want to mention to you a little bit about the Big Berkey water filters. And, of course, there's a Big Berkey water filter, and there's a Berkey Light water filter. The Big Berkey is stainless steel. The Berkey Light is made of Lexan. It's transparent, so you can see the water levels. The Big Berkey uses ceramic filters. The Berkey Light uses the black or Berkey filters. And, of course, the Big Berkey will filter about 25 gallons of water a day. The Berkey Light will do probably a little less than that. You put the water in the top, it comes out the bottom. They're both excellent water filters. The Big Berkey is $239.95. The Berkey Light is $199. Of course, that, if you want to get the lights and the bells and whistles, it's $259. But the Big Berkey, which is, pardon me, the Berkey Light, which we got, is $199. And, of course, there's $10 for shipping on them. They're wonderful to have if you have any bad taste in your water, or if you're concerned about the fact that you might have to use river or a lake or pond water. And of course, they're portable. You can take them with you, or you can leave them on a counter. But the important thing is that here's a source of water. And of course, if you have fluoride or arsenic or MTBE, you probably want to get post filters that can be put on the bottom. Now the Big Berkey filters can be repeatedly cleaned. The Berkey Light filters have to be replaced every 2 to 4 years. So that's something to consider. And, of course, the Big Berkey is not available in either California or Iowa. The Berkey Light is available in every state but Iowa. So if you'd like to live in California, you'd like to get a water filter, you can get the Berkey Light here. Of course, you can go up on our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. You can see the pictures of them. Or if you'd like to get some information, you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Or better still, why don't you give us a call and order either the Berkey Light or the Big Berkey. The number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we're going to open the lines the rest of this hour. So if you're out there in the listening audience, you have something that you would like to talk about, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, we'd love to get your calls or your questions. But right now, of course, I wanted to talk a little bit about where did Al-Qaeda and this radical Muslim movement come from. You know, certainly if you study the history of the Muslim religion, it was very, very aggressive. And as you know, at one time it occupied all of Spain, occupied southern part of France. It was driven back there in the 600s. It was actually driven out of Europe after the Battle of in Vienna back in 1683. And, of course, then retreated into Bosnia and of course, Macedonia. But, of course, it did not spread and take over all of Europe. But the whole thrust of the Muslim religion was one of aggressiveness. And, of course, their purpose was to conquer the world. Well, after the Second World War, after the defeat of the Ottoman Empire, and, of course, the temporary occupation of those areas by Great Britain, the Muslim faith became much less aggressive, and Muslims and Christians could live together in certain areas. And this whole idea of radical Islamic faith, which is basically a stricter interpretation or fundamentalist interpretation of the Quran and was done away with, and the Muslims just wanted to live and get along as most people did. There was, of course, a small group known as the Muslim Brotherhood organized in 1828 in Egypt, and they, of course, wanted to return to the aggressive faith of Islam, where everybody would either submit or be killed. Everybody would convert to Islam. And the same thing was true in Saudi Arabia, which was the home of the Wahhabi faith. And there, of course, the Saud family ruled with the support of the Islamic clerics who were Wahhabis. And they've pushed this radical Islamic faith. But it really was not any other place in the world until 1979. It was at that time the American government under Jimmy Carter with at that time Zbigniew Brzezinski of the Trilateral Commission, who organized the Trilateral Commission for David Rockefeller, and incidentally their logo is three sixes, 666. If you've ever seen their publications, or you read Kathy Byrne's wonderful book on Masonic and occult symbols, why you'll see the Trilateral Commission's symbol there, and of course it's three intertwining sixes. But of course, Zbigniew Brzezinski convinced President Carter we should topple the Shah of Iran, and which meant we were going to bring the Ayatollah Khomeini to power. Now, at the 1979, I remember thinking, why would we want to topple the Shah of Iran? He's our friend. He may be a tyrant, yes, but at least he's pro-American. He's anti-communist. He has the sixth largest army in the world. He's got a great air force. He's making tremendous strides. He's giving away a lot of his own land to the people and providing education and the growing middle class there. And Iran was prospering under the Shah of Iran. And then, of course, we actively worked to topple the Shah of Iran. And the CIA was there, and of course, bribing the army to not to carry out the Shah's orders. We put an arms embargo on the Shah. We let everybody know we weren't going to back him. And then we went to him one day and said, you will leave tomorrow. Well, getting an order from the American State Department is like getting an offer you can't refuse from the mafia. You better, of course, take that. And so he left the country. And then, of course, the Ayatollah Khomeini came to power and established the first Islamic state outside of Saudi Arabia. And, of course, this then began to rekindle this whole radical form of Islam. And then, of course, it was in July of that year that we began financing the Mujahideen, which were the holy warriors. And the Mujahada means fighting for the religion. And so the Mujahideen were Islamic warriors fighting for the faith. We began to finance them in Afghanistan, paving the way for the Afghan war. Because we financed the Mujahideen, the Soviets invaded Afghanistan, and we knew exactly what was going to happen. And then the CIA began to finance the Islamic warriors. We recruited Islamic warriors from all over the world. We put out some $56 million for textbooks to indoctrinate the people there in a radical form of Islam. Now, why would anybody in their right mind do something like that? That's like trying to fight a fire with gasoline. You wouldn't do that because it would make the fire flare up. And yet that's exactly what we did. And, of course, when the war was over in 1988, 1989, Osama bin Laden, who was working very closely with us all during that time, and with Saudi Arabia, of course, financed Al-Qaeda, and we helped Al-Qaeda at that time. And we'll be back in just a moment to tell you more of this incredible story. Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America, our values, our future. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, back here at Radio Liberty, and I just want to tell you about a few of the other products we have. Certainly one of them is called Phenopoly, and then Phenopoly is a board game. It's played just like Monopoly, but of course, when you use Phenopoly, you're learning how to spell and pronounce words, and of course, read phonetically. And of course, there are only 40 sounds in the English language. There are about 12 basic rules, and when you play Phenopoly, you learn the rules, you'll learn how to spell and pronounce words and read phonetically, and it's a wonderful thing for adults, it's a wonderful thing for children and for your grandchildren. Let me suggest that you order a Phenopoly set from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Most of the program's $300-$500. This one's $139.95, and we throw in a couple of books. It's called Phenopoly. And then, of course, we carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and we think that they're really great. We've used them ourselves for several years, and we can't make any medical claims. We will tell you that many of the people who use the Miracle 2 soap products do make claims for the products. So we hope that if you're out there, you'll want to get the Miracle 2 soap products. And there's a soap and a moisturizing soap and a gel, and there is a lotion, and then there's a neutralizing solution, very alkaline solution, which you're supposed to take a little of every day. And some people say it helps their intestinal tract, and some people say it helps their heartburn, and some people say they just feel better when they get a little bit more alkaline. You have to try it and see if it's going to work for you. But of course, the Miracle 2 soap products are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. I think if you try them, you'll be pleased. I think you'll be as pleased as many of the people who've gotten them from us in the past. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, we are talking about the source of Al-Qaeda's funding. Well, of course, Al-Qaeda was very much pro-Taliban. The Taliban, of course, were the students in Pakistan and the students in Afghanistan who had been trained, many of them, of course, at the Madras schools financed by Saudi Arabia, our good friends the Saudis in Pakistan, and many of them trained in the Afghan schools financed by your USAID money, where these children were indoctrinated in this radical form of Islam, where you're taught just how wonderful it is to die for Allah, how the only way you could really be sure to get into paradise is die killing the infidels like you and me. And of course, we justified that, oh, well, that's going to kill this Soviets. Well, didn't they have any idea what they were doing? Are they really that stupid in the CIA and the Central Intelligence Agencies? Now, you have to understand then, of course, that the Taliban took over control of Afghanistan about 1974, or at least was beginning to take over, and we began funding the Taliban in 1994, and that's covered in a book called Unholy Wars by John Cooley, who was a foreign correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. By 1996, the Taliban had taken over Afghanistan, and we were funding them. We were the largest source of humanitarian aid for the Taliban. Of course, the president said that in his speech on the 20th of September of the year 2001, just 9 days after the attack on the United States. He said we're the largest source of humanitarian aid for Afghanistan, which was the Taliban. And the Taliban, of course, it just stopped the production of opium, growing of opium poppies there, and of course, yes, they were a strict Islamic state, and the people didn't have any rights, but they don't have any rights in Saudi Arabia, and they don't have any rights in Kuwait, where we put them back in power. So why were we so upset about what was going on there? Well, because Al-Qaeda was there, and the wicked Osama bin Laden was there. But you have to understand, Osama bin Laden, of course, was sending his Al-Qaeda terrorists throughout the world. First of all, he sent them into Bosnia. Now, we backed, of course, the Al-Qaeda extremist Muslim fundamentalist in Bosnia in 1992 and 1993 and 1994. And of course, we were the CIA and the Army, U.S. Army, and this is covered in a recent article in the Spectator magazine. We've known this in the past, but anybody who'd like this article, we'll be glad to send you a copy. And then, of course, in 1999, why we had the war in Kosovo. We had the Kosovo Liberation Front. And, of course, who was the Kosovo Liberation Front? It was Al-Qaeda. It was Osama bin Laden's Al-Qaeda Islamic warriors. And who was backing them? Why, your tax money and the CIA. And they were backing them against the Christian Serbs. And you heard all the atrocity stories and how terrible the Christian Serbs and how wonderful these Muslim warriors, that they were Al-Qaeda. Why were we backing Al-Qaeda in 1999? Why was it, well, of course, in 1994, by 1994, why Osama bin Laden was living in the Sudan. And it was there that he was in touch with all of his Al-Qaeda cells throughout the entire world. And, of course, the Sudanese government was keeping track of all of the information on Osama bin Laden. Now, he was planning to humiliate America in Somalia. And, when we went into Somalia with our forces, I mean, this is an amazing thing because the United States was in Somalia and we were under United Nations control. And when you're under United Nations control, you're supposed to check with them before you do anything in the way of military action. But we decided we were going to, of course, arrest the henchmen of the leader over there, Islamic leader. And we went completely around the United Nations chain of command. And independently, we launched an attack without requesting permission. You just don't do things like that normally. But, of course, I'm sure our commanders in that part of the world did not realize is that Osama bin Laden had brought Al-Qaeda fighters in from all over the world in Mogadishu. And, of course, they were armed not only with automatic weapons, they were armed with grenade launchers, which had the ability to actually take down a helicopter if it was low enough. And they'd been studying what to do and where to shoot it. You shot it at the tail, and of course, the grenade exploded there while the helicopter would come down. That's just what happened. We lost two helicopters. Osama bin Laden, in October of 1994, planned the whole Black Hawk Down fiasco. And if you haven't seen that movie, it's worthwhile watching. And you'll remember, of course, as the American forces are moving out in column from the camp, there's a little boy there with a cell phone calling ahead. Why? Because everything that happened there was planned. But it was not only planned by Osama bin Laden, but it was almost like people in Washington, D.C. were going right along with it, allowing our troops to move out without permission from the Turkish general who was in charge of the whole situation. And we're just lucky we got our men out with only 18 men killed, because the Turkish general, when he heard what had happened, and he was requested to give, of course, tank support to our men so that they could go and rescue them, he said, no, I mean, you went out of command. You broke the chain of command. I'm not going to give you any tanks. Well, the Americans went to the Pakistanis who had the tanks, because, of course, we wouldn't send any tanks in to back up our men. And the American officer put a gun to the Pakistan officer's head and said, you go and get our men out or I'll blow your head off. Which, of course, was a very convincing argument. Now, I don't know whether he was ever court-martialed for that. Certainly, it was an illegal thing to do. We violated our laws, but we got our men out with only 18 dead, and I don't know how many wounded, and America was humiliated and withdrew. But that was 1994. We knew Saddam Hussein. Pardon me, Osama bin Laden had done that in 1995. He blew up the barracks and killed some Americans and Saudis in Saudi Arabia. And then in 1996, the government of the Sudan offered to turn Osama bin Laden and all the records, everything they knew about him, over to the United States. And that's covered in a book called Losing Bin Laden. And you know, the Clinton administration wouldn't take him because they just had nothing on him at all. I mean, he hadn't done anything. How would we justify arresting this man who had already at this time declared war on America? But we just didn't want to do anything. And if you believe that, you believe anything. We were setting this whole thing up. We were encouraging the Al-Qaeda so that they would think that they could freely attack the United States. And we suppressed information about their involvement in the Oklahoma City bombing because Terry Nichols was over there meeting with Al-Qaeda terrorists. We suppressed the information of the Al-Qaeda's involvement with the 1997 bombing of TWA because they took full credit for it in the international press, and it was totally blacked out here in America. Well, of course, we of course backed the Al-Qaeda in Kosovo. Why were we doing that in 1999? When, of course, at that time, George Tenet, the head of the CIA, had said we were at war with Al-Qaeda because Al-Qaeda in 1998 had come out with a second declaration of war on America. There's something wrong with the picture. Let's go to Roger calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Thank you. And before my question, I want to remind folks that might listen to you on World Band at 5.745. If the transmitter ever goes down, to look for you at 7.580, or a more remote possibility might be 17.560 or 0.65, one of those two. And I wanted to ask, a while back you said you were going to try to get the Howard Phillips on, say, maybe once a month, and if you also possibly had any success contacting Dr. John Eitzmo.
I should do both of those. I just don't have enough hours in the day, but you're right. I've tried to get Howard on. I've had him on in the past, but I really should get him on again, and John Eitzmo as well.
God bless.
God bless. Thanks so very much. Let's go to Ben calling from Salinas. Hi, Ben. How are you doing?
Yes, Dr. Stan. I'm a very, very angry American because I love my country, and I keep asking myself these questions. Why is it that they know who killed Kennedy, yet they bury the evidence? There's an investigation now. They know a lot of what happened on 9/11, and yet Jay Rockefeller and the CFR say they can't release the secret documents because of the diplomatic embarrassments and of the people in the present administration who had involvement and knowledge, so they must protect all of them. Here we have the Cheney Secret Energy Commission, which is the reason, 40 of our states are headed into bankruptcy, and yet they can't get the name of Ken Lay and the billionaire for lunch bunch, and they're all feeding off of the United States Treasury, and yet we have 9.5 million people unemployed, homeless, in lines. We have millions elderly without prescription benefits, and yet they want to keep feeding taxpayer dollars, our dollars, for our men and women to get killed over there in a country where we have no business. And the stupid, stupid Americans, you ask them, who bombed the towers? Oh, it was those Iraqis. It was bin Laden in Afghanistan, and they spent billions and billions bombing that country, and they've yet to bomb one heroin poppy. After giving them $45 million on the war on drugs, they bomb the pipeline that's going to go to Turkmenistan, and now they're already selling shares in that pipeline, yet they can't seem to bomb one poppy, and we spend billions on this war on drugs. Why do the stupid, stupid Americans go for this and not rise up in the streets and take our damn country back?
Because, of course, they don't understand what's happening, and they think that, well, maybe, of course, the next election things will be different. And, of course, it's really very interesting. Ben, we'll start watching the papers now and see how the big propaganda machine is building up General Wesley Clark for the Democrat nomination. I mean, talk about, of course, something manipulated, and everybody's saying, gee, when will Wesley Clark announce? Is he going to run for the presidency? Who wants Wesley Clark as president? Why, the Rockefellers, the CFR, because he belongs to the CFR, and he's a Rhodes Scholar. But you see, then of course we'll have an election, and people will say, well, maybe things will be better. We'll get Wesley Clark in, and after all, sort of like getting General Eisenhower in office, and things were better when Ike was in. But people don't understand. It's all play acting.
Isn't it time to end the secrecy in our government, sir? It's our country, we the people.
Well,
why is it the American people keep on eating their genetically modified corn to benefit ConAgra, Monsanto, Archer Daniels Midland, the Department of Agriculture, the FDA? They're all in bed feeding off of our money, feeding that crap that's going to poison our kids with every kind of cancer. And here in California, they're trying to buy an election that they couldn't win, and people are standing by with their thumbs in their mouths.
Have you sent any money to any of the candidates?
Sir, I would send money to anybody that will stand up for the country and realize one thing. The red on our flag, sir, represents the blood that was spilled for the beautiful country we all inherit. And why is it these people, blood we give, is the gift we get from our God? Why are they turning our back on God and letting these Nazis feed at the National Treasury, and they have no They have the cowardice of stupidity to not realize we went to Iraq for nothing but a pack of lies, and they're sitting back letting our 140,000 men and women getting shot to death and be targets, probably killed with American-produced weapons, so the Carlyle Group and the George Bush for Lunch Bunch can have their Kenny Bumpport pudding with their limos and all their protection while good people die.
Okay,
I will put money for that.
God bless. Thanks so much, Ben.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, fine. And, of course, I think that Ben is a little emotional, and, of course, I don't agree that it is the function of the federal government to provide the prescriptions for anybody. Now, it is certainly we... elderly people who can't afford medicine should be taken care of at the local level. Every church should be involved in this, certainly, but certainly not getting money from the federal government. And certainly at this, every city, what I can remember, when I first came to Santa Cruz, I was a young doctor, and we had a county hospital, and we could provide good medical care for the people, and the doctors went out there and worked for nothing, and we could get all the medicines we wanted. There artificially running up the price of prescription drugs here in the United States, doing everything they can to block you from buying them in Canada or in Mexico, so they can create a crisis so that they can actually, of course, justify of bringing in the modifications of Medicare. They're talking, this is, of course, going to bankrupt our country. Step by step by step, they're taking it as a socialized medicine. Why are the Republicans pushing a socialized medical system, which is basically what the prescriptions for the elderly is all about? And, of course, yes, there is a problem with the price of these things. So why can't we buy them from Canada? Oh, well, of course, that should be a terrible thing, you know. And they've got all the justifications why we can't buy them elsewhere. But the real thing is they're creating the crisis because they've got the solution. And that's what they do all the time. Oh, we're threatened by the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. The weapons are there. Well, and, of course, they're going to, of course, to be used to attack New York or Washington, D.C. We cannot wait any longer to attack Iraq. Well, of course, where did Iraq get the weapons? Why, of course, we had sold them the chemical and the biological material to build those weapons with, and we had funded them. If anybody doubts that we funded, that we gave massive amounts of money to Saddam Hussein, you give me a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask for the Washington Post article on financing Iraq. If you don't believe we put out large amounts of money for textbooks to indoctrinate the children of Afghanistan in this radical Islamic belief, that we created the best enemies money can buy, you can just give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. Get these material, copy them, get the information out across America so people can begin to understand. Why was Saddam Hussein in power? Well, because we backed him all during the 1980s, and we funded that Saddam Hussein. And then after, of course, the Gulf War, why we allowed him to have his helicopters in the air and go with his helicopter gunships and slaughter tens of thousands of Sunni, pardon me, Shia Muslims in the south and the Kurds in the north. These people were foolish enough to rise up because George Bush told them that we would come to their aid. And then we allowed him to smuggle oil out of the country through Jordan and through Turkey in violation of the UN embargo, and we knew what was going on. It's all covered in a book called See No Evil by Robert Baer, who was a CIA agent in Iraq, and we carry that book as well. We carry these books so you can get the information that to verify with what we're saying is true. And, of course, repeatedly the Iraq military tried to overthrow Saddam Hussein, and each time we betrayed the military leaders to Saddam, and they were arrested and tortured and killed. Twice that happened, if you read the book. And, of course, then you wonder why, of course, some people over there really don't trust us at all. We've got real problems in America because the American people are living such a good life, and they're not doing their homework. They, are, of course, are not asking why. Why was it that when the president was briefed and told that the Al-Qaeda was going to try to hijack our planes, and he was told that on the 6th of August, why didn't he order every airline pilot armed? Why didn't he order these cockpit doors locked. Why didn't he order the doors reinforced? Because the GAO had been advocating that for some time. Why didn't he mobilize the National Guard and try to head off the attack by putting armed guardsmen on every domestic flight? He could have stopped the attack. He could have prevented it because he knew they were going to try to hijack our planes. Why didn't he do that? What did he do? Why, they classified all the information and they opposed an independent investigation. We'll be right back.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention, if you have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it and read it through. And of course, it will go take you into the background of who really runs America, give you the sources of documentation, and then we carry so many of the other books we refer to there. So you can go to the original source material and document what we say, whether it's true, whether it's not. But of course, if you really think that there is a difference between the two parties at the top, why, you're sadly mistaken. Both parties are pushing this globalization. Both of them are intent upon transferring our industries overseas and impoverishing the American people. So you better find out what's coming down the line, because if you think there's any security in your pension fund, if you think there's any security in your annuities, if you think there's going to be money in the Social Security system to pay you or Medicare 10 years from now, why, of course, you probably would also like to buy shares in the Golden Gate Bridge, which we have for sale. You have to understand we're being lied to, and you need to get the information, and we have all the documentation, but the first place to start is my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and you can get it by itself for $12.95, or you can get it as part of a special for $29.95 with the book, the video, and the audio tape. It's a great deal, and we encourage you to copy the audio tape, to copy the videotape, and to get that information out across America. You'll also want to get our video, the Iraq, the Untold Story. It will explain to you why we are in Iraq, having very little to do with what we've been told. You can get it by itself or with a certainly with a syllabus, which is by the same title. So you can get the book, find me the video, or you can get the syllabus. You can get them both together. Iraq, the Untold Story. The story really of all the wars of the last century. Would you want your son drafted to go over there? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time when we have to, of course, remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day by radio, by shortwave, by internet, by satellite. And, of course, we have listeners all across America, and our audience is growing, but quite frankly, we need your help to maintain what we have and to gradually expand it. A lot of our supporters have, of course, into hard times. 9 million Americans are unemployed, and they, quite frankly, cannot continue supporting us. We continue sending the letters because we want them to at least continue knowing what's going on. But, of course, we need new people all the time so that we can gradually expand our coverage across America. So if you believe there's a problem and you'd like to be part of an organization that's doing something, not like most of the organizations meeting and eating and retreating or saying, oh boy, well, the next election, something good's going to happen. Why, seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do. And the number to call, 1-800-544. 800-500-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, give us a call. If you'd like to do something in your community, set up an Institute of the Constitution. Basically, it's a series of three videos with 12 half-hour lectures on it, on the Constitution, lectures by Dr. John Eijsmo, who's a professor of constitutional law. And, of course, then there's a couple of David Barton tapes, and there's a book, of course, that goes along with this to tell you how to actually to put the meetings on. You can go to their website at IOTC Online. That's IOTC for Institute on the Constitution, online.com, or give them a call at 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. They're putting out more of these than ever before over this last few weeks. People are really beginning to wake up, and these institutes are being formed all across America to teach people about our way of life, about our Constitution, about our Christian heritage, the most carefully kept secret in America, that America was founded by Christians as a Christian nation. Everybody knew we were a Christian nation until 50 years ago when the wicked people took over control of the media and took over control of our courts and took over control of our schools. So, of course, consider seriously setting up an institute by calling 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. And then go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs 5 hours a day. You can listen to our archive programs. You can pull down our newsletters and you can read them. But your real assignment is to tell others about our website, to tell them about our programs, to tell them that there's a voice of reason here that will explain what's going on, because I've been studying this for over 40 years, and I've interviewed ambassadors and heads of state and presidents, and we've been on the front lines of this battle, and we have an opportunity. We have an entirely different view than most of the talk show hosts across America who have parts of the battle, but just like, you know, the four blind men who were trying to figure out what the elephant looked like, and each one would feel a different part, the tail, the trunk, one of the legs, you know, each one would describe it differently. We try to put it together, and I think we do a pretty good job. And then we ask you, of course, to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival in America, because if the American people don't turn back to God, there's no way God will ever bless this country again. And lastly, we ask you to remember to pray for my ministry and for our staff here at Radio Liberty. Please pray for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, when we'll be with you once again, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.